Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm looking down.
Shout Even Shy. This is Deborah Lee. You're listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We are a radio group, chat group that hangs at allpoetry.com, a poetry site that is free to join. If you join or are already a member, you can look us up under the group tab, A Team of Voices, and I'll meet you at the door. If you'd like to call in and participate, you can do so by calling 1-646-668-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. And I have a line waiting, so I'm just going to go directly to the studio and start letting people in here. And I have the Wizard from Oz, A.P. Taylor. Hi, AP.
Hello, Dad.
Welcome to the show. Okay. I'm glad to be here. And right behind you, we have the dynamic duo from A Poetic Slice. Oops, I hit the wrong button. Think I was new at this. From The Poetic Slice of Life, Stephen and Kay. Welcome to the show, you two.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. And we have Miss Allie Sunshine. Hey, Allie.
Hi,
Welcome
Deb.
To the show.
How are you?
Hanging in there. How are you?
Hanging in there.
And right behind Allie, we have Linda, a.k.a. Liquid Damage. Hey, Linda, welcome to the show.
Hey, Deb, welcome back. I hope you're feeling better.
I'm getting there, hon. Thank you. Glad you're here.
Right on. Good to be here.
I'm not quite sure where my big brother is. He's not responding, so I guess we will see how that plays out. In the meantime, I am going to, AP, are you in a hurry? You have a little time. Where do you stand?
No, I've got a bit of time, Deb. I was going to be around for the first hour with you today, if that's okay.
That's awesome. Okay. Now, I'm going to grab Case Palm because I know that they just got done doing a few hours of radio themselves. So let's get this kicked off. This week we're doing what I thought was a pretty cool prompt. I sat down and looked up the first original poem that I could find, and I was really not sure what kind of poem it would be, but I found one that was written in 2100 BC, and I sat down and thumbed through it and came up with 15 different pieces of it to quote. So I'm looking forward to seeing which, quote, people chose and where they took them. So we're going to have Kay kick us off. Kay, if you see the board, go ahead and take us away, please.
Okay. I call nine, harness past bronzes, the mist and pewters of linen. Voice falls, the hands of land. Roll on the knife, peninsulas, foster and ash. Brushes tap the rigid beads, fashion and solitaires and brass. Bristled stems left the skeleton of golden chrysanthemums, rocks the water, a prune of clippings, evergreen in the silence of pines, and shadows, silver slated, aviaries, cestations, and poems.
Aviary crustacean. That's really cessation. I don't know where I got the R from. Anyway, back to harness path bronze is the mist and pewter of linen. Really cool title. The peninsula fostering ash brushes tap the rigid beads, fashioning solitaires in brass. Really, really awesome descriptions there. I like how you pulled the colors out. Bristled stems left to skeleton. I guess I never really thought of it that way, but it can be, you know, once those beautiful colors fall away. And I always usually just call them naked trees, but now I'm seeing a little difference in the thought of the left to skeleton. Really, really cool phrasing. And I'm trying to see if I can guess about how many words it is here, like 60 tops, and it's so packed with imagery. And I like, there's something about evergreening the silence of pines and shadows. I like that metaphor. Really clever. And I'm looking to see which quote you chose.
I chose a female.
The dream, is that the dream I had was deeply disturbing. The heavens roared and the earth rumbled. Then it became deathly still and darkness loomed. Or is the other one from mine? I don't even know. I watched the appearance of the weather. The weather was frightful to behold. In either case, it goes great with all the descriptions that you have in here. Really awesome share. I see it's on quite a few lists already. Cool stuff, Kay. Appreciate it. Let me get you some comments here. Let me go right to Linda, please.
I thought it was just lovely. It was like a prelim to fall with all the colors and the leaves, and what an awesome word choice you've made. great abstract motion in the lines, and the colors that you used in your verses were very subtle, but at the same time stunning. And I love the line, bristled stems left to skeletons as golden chrysanthemums rocks the water of perennial clippings. Beautiful verse, by the way. Very well done, and I liked it a lot. Thanks for sharing it, Kay.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. Thank you. And AP, what did you think?
Yeah, well, I actually went to here in terms of the line. I mean, I think the it's an interesting quote, the dream that I had this week, the disturbing heavens roared and the earth rumbled. And you could take it in many different contexts, but I like the way that you used it here with the imagery, where you basically have the autumnal leaves and you have them falling, and then you're left with those bristled stems left to skeleton, which is a lovely piece of writing. So very descriptive, very short and brief, and to the point, which is always nice. But very well done.
Thank you, AP.
Great comment. Before I get a comment from Allie, let's say hello to David. Hey, David, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hey,
thank
David.
Hey, Linda.
Glad you're here. Allie,
you.
Can you comment for Kay, please?
I sure can. I said, well done. My favorite line was bristled stems left to skeleton, because I believe that nothing should be left to turn into skeleton, but it is cool imagery. Amazing job, Kay.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Stephen, while I grab yours, you want to comment for your wife, please?
Yeah, I like this too. It's very powerful, Beverly. That holds much to take in. I really like the way you started. Forest falls twixt sands of land, rolling the knife. Peninsulas fostering ash, because the mention of peninsula makes me think of how one can feel surrounded, but also knowing that someone still has their back. I thought this was a beautiful piece.
Thank you.
Awesome comments, everyone. And Stephen, you should see yourself and take us away, please.
All right. The quote I wrote to was, I will knock down the gates of the netherworld. I will smash the door's posts and leave the doors flat down, and will let the dead go up to eat the living. And I chose that picture of the skeleton walking along with like he ran away from home. But I immediately think of Randall Flagg when I see a picture like this. So that's why I go, well, I guess burns, an isolated tribe learns. As ribcage grins like the teeth of a crow, finger-snap dinners bringing lightning-cooked venison for glowing crimson eyes beneath the rim of a woven straw. With shadow leather boot heels clicking the asphalt road. Cobalt denim overalls sporting pear yellow face nice day pins hide black tar vascular pump and ebony stones with scarlet blemishes that open burning trash can doors. When judges become faceless and shotgun blasts, glass elevators are washed with the blood and flesh of mistaken aim. Screwed up, Bobby Terry. Unopened decks of cards burn in hell's radiation. Cloth falls to half-mast. Packing the bladed bindle and gathering feathers to intimidate tribal elders, once again raising the flag, hovering just 3 feet off the evergreen earth. End poem.
Okay, well, for starters, let me say that's a nice little treat at the end of the poem. Yeah, and back to the poem. I like the title, but I like how it starts out, as ribcage grins like the teeth of a crow. What an awesome, awesome way to put that. Too cool. Finger snap dinners bring lightly cooked venison for glowing crimson red eyes beneath the rim of a woven straw hat. I'm really taken by that ribcage grins as the teeth like on a crow. Anyhow, when judges become faceless in shotgun blasts, glass elevators are washed with the blood and flesh of mistaken aim. That's pretty powerful when you think about it. When the judges become faceless. Ah, oh, there's that. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
I'm back. I'm sorry. The dumpster guy used to come at midnight. Now he seems to come at quarter after 10-ish, and he's really loud, and I just didn't want it blaring in everybody's ear. Anyway, I'm sorry about that. But anyway, when the judges become faceless, it sort of says the same thing to me as if, you know, like, not just faceless, but also blind. It doesn't matter who you are. Some get these power trips. So the power trip leads to that shotgun blast. And then the glass elevators are washed with blood and flesh of mistaken aim. I mean, that's sad and vivid and morbid all at the same time. So, like, really cool. But you screwed up, Bobby Terry. Unopened decks of cards burn in hell's radiation. I guess for some reason the dead man's hand is in my mind, but that wouldn't even help there because it was burning up, you know. To intimidate tribal elders once again, raising the flag just 3 feet off the evergreen earth. I'm trying to place the clip there that you used. Is this a multiple prompt? Is that why?
Okay,
I see. I'm a little slow today. I'm getting it. But anyway, no, you know, the whole thing's really cool, and I see that it's a adding another chink in your belt for all them tens you're racking in, which is awesome. Congratulations on that. But, like, I think that you're getting really, really fantastic at your metaphors and stuff. But this one I'm kind of jealous of, as Ribcage grin, like the teeth of the crow. I know I keep going back to it, but to me it's that damn good. Anyway, really great share. Let me get you some comments. David, what did you think?
Well, I really like that first stanza, as Ribcage grins, like the teeth of a crow, finger snaps, dinners, bring lightning, cooked venison. That's cool. That's really neat. Boy, this is a really colorful poem you wrote. Interesting storyline, too. I agree with what Deb said about it. The metaphors are really outstanding. You did a really good job with this, Stephen. I liked it. I mean, it's one of your better ones.
Thanks, Dave.
You're welcome.
Deb, muted.
AP, please. I'm sorry about that.
Okay.
You could have that real sort of sense of somebody sort of screaming against the machine that does that bottom. And I was actually taken back to the Kendrick Lamar clip, All Right, where the police officers pretend to sort of shoot the people, but that's the end up being shot in place. And there's something quite, you know, quite intense about when judges are faceless in shotgun blasts and blood is in elevators. They're great on their own, but they have tremendous meaning as well. I really liked it. So.
Thank you, AP.
Awesome comment. And Linda, please.
Yeah, I thought it was a very cool piece, Stephen, with very fine descriptive wording to the verse. Great and powerful imagery as well. I thought it was a really good write, and it was just intense. You just brought out the story so well with your words. Thank you for sharing it.
Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And I'm going to change it up just a little. And, Stephen, why don't you comment for Kay before Allie comments, and then tell us what's going on at A Poetic Slice as well, and then I'll get Allie to comment for Kay.
Well, okay. Well, yeah, no. Okay, I will say, because being married to you, I'm very well acquainted with The Stand. So I like how you put in the GIF at the bottom, because that's from the remake of The Stand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he brought attributes to the series that was cool, but the original is still the best. So, yeah, I know that Randall Flagg is something that you like to write to, and you definitely spoke to him well. Bringing in the line, he screwed up Bobby Terry, because to hear Randall yell that, yeah, then what comes next is basically death for screwing up. So, yeah, this is a great share.
Thanks, son.
Awesome comment. Stephen, what's up?
Excuse me. Coming up at Poetic Slice of Life, our next show is Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. It is the Poetic Inklings, and it's our monthly visit with Agnes Cecil. Kay found about a dozen more paintings from that wonderful watercolor artist for us to write to. Check them out. See where it takes your pen. And then Something Different with a Request is on Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern, and that one's my baby, as Kay calls it, as we're going to pay a little tribute to Jacques Cousteau.
Oh, cool. Sounds awesome. Thank you, thank you. Okay, and Allie, will you please comment on the poem and then read us your poem?
Sure. I said, this was so stunning. I could not choose a line to quote because there was so much stunning imagery and so many detailed descriptions within your poem that it all worked so well together. Super cool job, Stephen.
Thank you, Allie.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment, Allie. And,
okay,
now
I need to find mine. Okay. The darkness that you had left in set, I don't think this is the right, is this the right poem? Or am I reading the wrong poem? This is the right poem. Okay.
Darkness can change,
can
that's you, right?
Yep.
I thought, am I, oh, I know what I did. Okay, hang on. 1 second. I am very confused. Because I thought I already read this, but okay. The darkness that you had left inside my life has now become a shadow. The face Mom had all those nights when she didn't sleep, white like chalk, freshly opened, never used. I lost the memories of how you looked, Mom. Happy, sadness, I couldn't tell anymore. You only had one face. To me, your hair went from licorice black and looking nice to a gray color since you stopped caring about how you looked. I knew you were still on Earth, but sometimes I didn't know how much longer you'd still be around. To me, those nights where I saw you lying in bed, motionless and movementless, I honestly thought I had lost you. Brother thought you were dead, that one time you were so close. But me and brother, we still have red lips. Our lips are now red because we have what we need. They're no longer pink. I no longer have to tiptoe, fearing I'll step on glass that crumbles beneath mine or his feet. I no longer have to lift to move with the glass. I will no longer have a skeleton at my graduation, rather I'll have my mother. Mom, Dad, this was an emotional right, but it was needed. And for that I owe a big thank you to Deb for providing such powerful quotes and words. It truly made an impact tonight. I love you all.
Aw.
Wow.
Well, of course the ending is really sweet. But, you know, you've been through so much in your life to always sound so chipper. Don't lose that, Allie. Pieces like...
Thank you. It means a lot.
You're welcome. With pieces like your fear of walking on glass that crumbles beneath your feet, like, you know, you're walking on eggshells all the time. The fear, where was the skeleton? I will no longer have a skeleton at my graduation, rather I'll have my mother. The back and forth there is really powerful. And there's, you mentioned towards the beginning, I lost the memories of how you looked, mom, happy, sadness, I couldn't tell anymore. And the happy and sadness goes through your poem, too. I knew you were still on Earth, but sometimes I didn't know how much longer you'd be around. It has to be such a scary thought to not know, to not have that security. The sense of, you know, as long as mom's sitting there, everything's going to be okay, because you deserve that. And I feel really bad that you didn't have it. It really gets me in the gut when I realize that somebody didn't have that, you know, and makes me back to the
bright side.
Well, it takes me back to what I said at the beginning, though, Allie, because even after all of that, you're still a sweetheart.
I try to be a sweetheart. I try.
Yeah, but a lot of people get very bitter and mean, and you didn't, so you should be really proud of yourself. Just saying.
Yeah.
I think your poem came out awesome. And let me let the duo comment for you so that they can go have some dinner. Kay, you want to go first?
Oh, yeah, that line. Sorry. I remember tiptoe. I'll step on glass, the primal paint line for his feet. I feel that to that line there is a strength of no longer being afraid, as the steps that are treaded don't have to hurt. And with the beginning, I have found that with time, sometimes the memory of a loved one can fade as to seeing, remembering how they look, but the memory is still there. Sometimes that is a tragedy in trying to remember, but they won't be forgotten as well. It's a wonderful share.
Thank you, Kay.
Awesome comment, Kay. And Stephen, what do you think?
Well, yeah, I really like the imagery in this, Allie. The one line, white like chalk, freshly opened but never used, really stood out to me. And as Deb and Kay were talking to, the walking on glass, reminding me of walking on eggshells, but the eggshell could cut you. Yeah, I thought this was a great write.
Thank you, Stephen.
Awesome comment. And thanks for calling in, you two. I appreciate it. And I will see you at the show Wednesday if I don't talk to you before. Oh, maybe it's Skies tomorrow. Anyway, appreciate you. And David, will you comment for Allie?
Yes, I would. I'd like to. Allie, this is one of your best poems that I've ever read. I really, really liked it. It shows a lot of maturity in the way you think, in the way you write. It shows some real high level thinking and contemplation. You're looking at yourself inwardly, and it's a brave write. You telling the world, you know, what's been going on, and I really admire that. And you need to keep writing this way, because this really suits you, and it's really well written. There again, you're a lady that's wise beyond her years, and I'm proud to have you as a friend.
Thank you. And if you come to next Monday's show, slight spoiler alert, my next poem is similar to what this one was. So.
Cool.
Sweet comment, David. Linda, what did you think?
Oh, my God, tremendous, Allie. I could feel the pain that's wrapped in this poem. And, you know, all I can do is pray for you that the pain isn't stagnating inside of you. And like Deb said, you've come through so much without being bitter that it's just amazing. And, you know, the writing in this, your writing is each time you read, it's getting better and better. And some of the lines that you used in this show the maturity of a writer that you're becoming. This part, the face Mom had all those nights when she didn't sleep, white like chalk, freshly opened, never used. What a tremendous line that is. And there's others in this poem that just show what the metamorphosis that you're going through as a writer. So I really liked it, and I just love how you write. Thank you for sharing it, Allie.
Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome.
Awesome comments, everyone. And AP, will you comment for Allie and then read for us?
Yeah, sure. Look, I like how they always put everything in first person. Talk about yourself and you talk about your experience. And you don't hide behind some people, especially older people, go in third person and talk about something in the abstract because it's not as hard to talk about. But you don't shy away from what you want to talk about. You do it directly and you do it in first person. It's always because of that. It always has an impact and you just keep doing what you're doing and just keep getting better as you are.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Great comment. And thank you, Allie. And AP, take us away.
This quote that we're on is, "The dream is important but very frightening. Your lips are buzzing like flies." And I'll get what some of the language means at the end when I give some explanations. Just directly to them. It goes a little bit like this. Vehement masks the novelist, lining for a path, grey as clouds cast, lift up on earth's breath. Storm separators in between winds prays, I follow in your slate, as the woodwind plays. Cobalt turns into umbrellas as whistling the tune, stone way through clouds seeking out the moon. Shadows fighting while two stumbling ahead, I can but watch, harnessed in my dread. Hooray, the angels swing past the gates. The Asila orchestra reigned while tension waits. Hooray, a liaison brings the lightning to this day. Donna, else requiem by the darkness I will pray. Bend silence and your body to surprise. Heard in night's lips were buzzing like he flies. Echo of a chamber here for moments cause. I'm left alone in silence, rambling moors. End poem.
Wow.
Awesome. I love the color choices that you put in here. It reads like a dream because of the way you did the wording. And like gray ash clouds cast looms upon the earth's wrath. Storm separated in between winds craze. I follow in your slate as woodwinds plays. It's got the sights and sounds, but it's actually the second stanza. I thought this line I'm about to say was in the first one. I was just mistaken. But cobalt turns into umbrellas as whistling the tune. That was part of the wording that made it feel like a dream state. As the cobalt turns into those umbrellas, and I like how you put the Latin in there. I'm not going to try to pronounce it because I'll butcher it. But specifically, the first line of the third stanza, the angels are singing past the gates. The visuals there are really gorgeous, and you can imagine that the gates are in that beautiful light that's peeking out from the darkness of the clouds. And if you look at your quote, like, "the dream is important but very frightening, your lips are buzzing like flies," I think that you did a hell of a job putting all the word banks with the quote and the photo. And I think I had commented earlier how normally your stanzas are shorter lines. So it made this one feel sort of like a double poem. But like your rhyme pattern, your visuals, everything all the way through makes for a really fantastic read. Impressive. It was good to hear it.
Thanks.
And let me get you some comments. How about if I start with Miss Allie?
You can start with me, but I'm going to be fully honest and say, although I was listening to the poem, I did not catch it all because I was busy responding to comments on my poem. Would you still like me to
I'll go to someone else and give you a chance to peek at it. Not a problem. How about if I see what David thought?
Oh, I really like this. I really enjoyed the storyline. And in true AP fashion, the thing is written so well. The rhyme and meter really tickled me when I read it and listened to him reading it. I thought you did a really fine job in matching the storyline in the poem with the picture prompt that you have. It's interesting, and I like that. I sort of agree with Deb on this one. I like the second stanza really well. Cobalt turns into umbrellas as whistling the tune, stone way through clouds seeking out the moon. That's really a cool pairing. Those two lines are really a complementary to each other. Shadows fighting while two stumbling ahead. I can but watch, harnessed within my dread. That's cool. That's really, really a powerful stanza. I'd say probably sticks out to me the most out of the other three. So well done.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Allie, you ready to comment?
Yes. I said I loved many lines in this, but my favorite line was, I'm left alone in silence, who's rambling more? Because I don't do well in full silence, hence the wind chimes on my sound machine. And then I was going to finish typing, I used to be scared of the silence, but now as I gain more courage and kind of heal from my past, silence has become, I don't know what the word is, somewhat welcome, I guess, in my life, although I still don't like dead silence.
That makes sense. Thank you, Allie.
Awesome comment. And Linda, will you comment for AP and then read your poem for us?
Sure. Well, that was beautifully written, AP. It was had amazing rhyme scheme that flowed perfectly. The story was fascinating and bold with very intense imagery, and I love the way you kind of teased us with the Latin. It was like a little violin in there playing to us, telling us that something, you know, cool is going on, but unless we know Latin, we're going to have to look it up. But I just loved this poem. Once again, you've done it. Thank you very much for sharing.
Thank you, Linda. I did make it easy for everybody. Right down the bottom of all pieces, I did put the explanation of what those were. Because I know it's hard to find sometimes. So the Dies Irae is day of wrath. Dies Ille is that day. Iri eleison is Lord, have mercy upon us. And Donna Els Requiem is Lord, grant them rest.
Cool.
I had to actually sing my back.
Very, very cool.
Trained in the Latin, you say, so we all stop. That more.
You're breaking up a little, AP.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll put myself closer to the phone.
That's a little better. A great poem, awesome comments. Thank you, everyone. And Linda?
I don't see my link.
Maybe refresh? I did put,
I just refreshed.
Okay, it's up there, but I see that the board's hopping a little
there
bit, so I put it again. Oh, and so did Allie. Pick one.
There we go. This is called Shadows on the Moon, and it goes like this. Nights of wonder full of stars, you hold me close, we travel far. Meet me in the moonlight, sail me across the sky, enchant me with your magic, tell me the reasons why you love me so. I've got to know. In the darkness of the night, I see your eyes shining bright, a fairest wheel of wonder shining jewels up in the sky. You beg me take your hand and join you then to fly, and then I'll know you love me so. Opal visions and champagne toast, I am the one you love the most. Divine will spins us away, just you and I together. In the onyx veil of night, I'll stay with you forever, and love will be for you and me. Indigo eyes with topaz smile, you look at me and for a while, my heart is in your hands as I sing you a little tune. Past the stars we fly tonight, leaving shadows on the moon. In poem.
Awesome. And you know, Linda, for some reason, I'm trying to figure out why, but when you got towards the middle there, or maybe it's part of it, for some reason, I felt like it was a spell being cast or an incantation. Meet me in the moonlight, sail with me across the sky, enchant me with your magic, tell me the reason why you love me so. I gotta know. In the darkness of the night, I see your eyes shining bright. There's just, I don't know, I think it was maybe the, here we go, opal visions and champagne toasts, I am the one you love the most. It was like you were, I expected you to say abracadabra because it felt like you were casting a spell. Opal visions and champagne toasts, I am. Like a mirror, mirror on the wall kind of feel when you were reading it.
Right.
But it was really cool. Yeah. And you're always spot on with your rhyme and your flow. And I must say, my dear, for you, this is a brevity. And I like the repeat of and love will be, or the, yeah, and then I know, like you love me so, and then I know, and love will be, the trickle down there. It was really cool. And the divine wheel spins us away, just you and I together. In the onyx veil of night, I stay with you forever. So it was like enchanted, and I really think that it felt like a magical spell. Really, really cool. I like how you did it. And, I mean, come on, we got a Ferris wheel up by the moon, so it magic fit.
Isn't that a great picture?
I loved it. Yeah, that's what happens. I love these pictures so much that I can't possibly write to all the ones I find, so then I find other ways to use them, and you did a magical job with it. So, impressive.
Thank you, Deb.
Let me see what Miss Allie thought.
I was just about to say, can I go? But you beat me to it. I kind of stole some of your lines, Linda, and didn't put them in quotes. But I said, tell me you love me. So, oh, wait, you already tell me that. As I sing your little tune, that's how I sleep at night. And that's how you calm me down when I cry or have a panic attack. You look at me how I look at you when I wake up at night. But we don't talk about that. Very well done, Linda.
Thank you, Allie.
Awesome comment. And AP, what did you think?
It sort of brought me back to Dire Straits and Romeo and Juliet, and that sort of that song starts with the sound of a Ferris wheel or a hurdy-gurdy going around, and that sort of that sense of love and it being all fresh and new and recalling it sort of whimsically. And I love whimsical poems, and this is a classical whimsical poem in its description, and it's a beautiful rhyme and it's repetition, and so you've won me, Linda. I really like the poem.
Thank you, AP.
Whimsical, perfect. that's the word I couldn't think of at the time. Yeah. And David, will you comment for Linda and then read us your poem? Oh, hold on one second, David.
Sure.
Linda, tell us about your next show first.
Oh, yeah. It's this coming Saturday, the 16th at 9 p.m. Eastern. And the theme is springtime. Is it here yet? So, yeah, come on down. And it's on the Cosa Nostra. We have a lot of fun. I tell some stupid jokes. And it's a lot of fun. So come join us. David.
Awesome. And David, will you comment for her and then read yours?
I would. Yes, I would. The very first stanza in this poem reminds me of a almost like an ululation to the moon, you know. Nights of wonder full of stars, you hold me close, travel far. Meet me in the moonlight, sail with me across the sky, enchant me with your magic. Tell me the reasons why you love me so. That's so cool. And it's so beseeching in its statement. You know, you have to really, it grabs a hold of you and says, hey, pay attention, you know, and you look at this. And then I agree with you on the other stanza there, the one in the middle. It does almost sound like a spell. You know, in the darkness of the night, I see your eyes shining bright, a Ferris wheel of wonder shining jewels up in the sky. You beg me to take your hand and join you then to fly, and then I'll know you love me so. That's so cool. You really did a good job on this, Linda. I love the way you rhyme and you know, syncopate these poems of yours. It's just wonderful. This one actually reminds me a little bit of the one that I wrote tonight. So anyway, I'll say
right on.
Well done.
Thank you, sweetheart.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And thank you, Linda. And David, yours is on the board. And AP, did you see the message I sent you?
Uh-oh. I did. I'm just typing you a message back.
Okay, cool. David?
Okay. When I saw this picture, I think it's an artist's rendition of the binary system called Cygnus X1. It was the first black hole that they verified. And what it does, it has an O-class super giant blue orbiter that orbits it. It's a black hole, and it's pulling star matter off of the black hole. And as it gets pulled in towards the accretion disk, it's spun up to a million miles an hour or so, and it generates high-density X-rays. And so that's why it's called Cygnus X1. Cygnus is a constellation for the swan. So I just had to write about it. So it goes like this. This is the quote 11 that I picked. It starts out, I will have harnessed you a chariot of lapis lazuli and gold with wheels of gold and horns of electrum, and it will be harnessed with great storming mountain mules. Her space-time curvature from yesterday's that were rolls me softly into her. Gunpowder, cotton candy stir, she awakens me in breathy kisses, long wave mumblings, nobody guesses. David, am I not your missus? Giggles the universal queen as she reminisces. Desperately seeking her place in me, looks so hard trying to see. When her heart sets her free, her imagination turns to glee. David, fly with me into the swan, bathe with me in its x-rays beyond. Into its gold swan song, flying past X1's reach headlong. Its cobalt supergiant orbiter suffers its platinum sarcomere, gives its stellar sapphire atmosphere to this high mass object. Over its event horizon runs the axe, the bolt, and all the son of a guns. X-ray bullets can never be undone. Fired at the earth at the speed of light, titanium particle jets so bright, still we cannot see their flight. X-rays of Earth on a licorice film night. Cygnus X1 at the eight of vertebrae. The neck of the swan's just built this way. the champagne swan will always stay from time immemorial unto this day. Floating in a pitch-blend sky, the dark mother and I flying by, emerald eggshells twinkle, oh my. I look into the dark mother's infinite eyes, red hydrogen alpha at 656 nanometers, or red litten man-eaters. X-rays of your heart, this cosmic egg beater, I would never use you as a lost leader. So we said goodbye to the cosmic swan song, its space-time curvature everlasting throng. X-rays of my heart, please tell me your evensong, my queen, I beseech your love lifelong. David, my man, your heart is pure silver, and so I am your cosmic believer, for I would be nothing without your love, for I am your wife from the stars above.
Like you squeezed in a little bit of romance there at the end. David, before I comment on the poem itself, I have to say when you were reading there, you giggled a little. And I love when that happens to the person, to the poet, you know, when they're reading their own work and it tickles them. Because, I mean, man, if you're not getting joy out of it, how are we supposed to? Do you know what I mean? And I'm trying to find the spot that it was that made you laugh. Of course, it had something. Anyway, I don't know, but I like the joy that you got when you were reading. I like the question. What is it towards the beginning? Around the third or the third stanza. David, am I not your missus? Giggles the universal queen as she reminisces. I like that. You know, there's a playfulness to it. And then two more stanzas down. David, fly with me into the swan bath. Bathe with me in its x-rays beyond into its gold swan song, flying past X1's reach headlong. Its cobalt supergiant orbiter suffers its platinum sacromere, gives its stellar sapphire atmosphere to this high mass object so queer. A lot of rhyme there, really cool. I like when you mix your science in with yours, and it always, of course, it always makes me wonder whether or not we're going to have an appearance from the Dark Mother whenever you do one. And when you chose that, the art that you did, I kind of thought we might have another adventure. But the swan song in Cygnus is really cool. And the swan song, you think of, you know, the end, the final. And if you look at that picture, it's like, whoa. I will have harnessed for you a chariot of lapis lazuli and gold with wheels of gold and horns. So the quote fit it really, really well. And where's that? I had one more I wanted to say. Fired at the earth at the speed of light, titanium particles jet so bright still we cannot see their flight. X-rays of earth on a licorice film night. This one was packed with rhyme, Dave. Very impressive, but you still had your conversations and we still had, like I said, your space brain was in there. It was a really awesome use of the colors that you chose and the photo you chose. And back to what I said at the beginning, though, my favorite part was listening to your joy and you giggle as you read. I'm really glad that you had fun with it, Dave. Awesome share.
I did. I always did.
Yeah, it showed.
I love your
really,
poem.
Really, really. And let me see. Let me go to Allie.
Okay, so I'm going to try and phrase this in a way that makes sense, but, like, I didn't really have a chance to comment on David's poem because there was some stuff in there that just got to me emotionally. Is it okay if I skip commenting for this one?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. How about if I go over to Linda, please?
Well, I thought it was quite imaginative, David. You're just intense that way. There was an awesome and fascinating story of love. Very cute, Mr. Prophet. The imagery was hot on fire, and your rhyme was immaculate. Very good ink. great story. You did a wonderful job on this, and your use of science in your poems is just—it's just awesome. Thanks for sharing it.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome comment. And AP, can you comment for David and then read the next poem for us?
Yes. Look, it's a fascinating piece of mixture of science and lore and storytelling in the first person, and I always love the first-person storytelling. It's something that I'm trying to get better at, and you've developed really well with the way you converse in a poem, and things go backwards and forwards. It has a lovely natural flow to it. But the only thing I was disappointed with, Dave, I was looking forward to using cygnet, one of my favourite words for a young swan, and it never got there. We just kept getting swan, and I was like, where's the damn cygnet? You know, so that would have been really cool. So, you know, 9.5 out of 10, 10 out of 10 if you'd use cygnet.
Thank you, AP. Thank you.
Awesome comment. And the next one's on the board.
This is Wolf by Dante Hickson, and it goes a little bit like this. Let's just say since the first day I aim for bigger prey, past the shadows on my way to the end of it. These creatures don't know me, and they never did. Run their path through, roo, 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 run as I walk growling through. Stick my teeth in them and hope that hurt will hurt deep within, the wound like a sin. Side by side, they told me to give up, but now with all my might, I crawl and fight my way up. And if it's hard, I do it hard, pick it up and rip it apart. Bear my teeth in and sink them in the inner sinner, hiding deeper in my innards until even the bigger opponent shivers. Even if I trail 1,000 miles and leave behind 1,000 paws, I still grill and growl with a smile. On my own groan, not regretting what I have sown. Deranged minds and unhinged sights, prey or predators aside, all bleed the same when teeth get sunk in them. Even if blood and sweat has to be shed, let me learn the shadow hunt you slow. And when there is a chance, I run in, hunt you and your kin down. Even behind the dusk of dawn, re-emerge for the next sheep, thinking they are another stealing egg, eating cheat, chastised silently under 6 foot deep. Violently as my assignment over your assailment. Inside this cage war we wage until it's going to be face to face. But I'm not going for second place. Now run and see my eyes flashing doomingly as my teeth are soaked in blood freshly. This night your side will be my side dish, devouring every last piece while I'm at peace. And the next comes to me re-enlighting the fire inside, setting my will to hunt free. I be the chaser against the trophy engravers, erasing your life with teeth as raisins, clenching them together, wishing this isn't the dark encounter with amongst the same animals in the pit. I must say I'm glad in it. As you all aim for one thing, a mere simple win, while I'm here tail spinning with a mouth dripping of fresh blood. It's not from hunger, just a thrill of being the hunter, hunting a hunter though so grounded, putting pressure on your sweet neck to neck. This is my forest, and you all are just specks. Little mark in my terrain, every day I push the weight in. You are in my sight, so let me stain the ground with your sweet lime. It ain't lying, I say I'm not even burly in my prime. So I rather hear another song. So when you're all are ready, I'm already gone. Hunted the little ones, but the big two. And now I've got my eyes set on you. You're coming for me, that's a dead animal walking like you were trying to summon someone from deep within an animal instinct. A lot of you can't even get me on my worst day. I don't care if you sit or lay. I don't care whatever you're going to say. I will always be heading on my way. Is it hell or under a spell? Look me in my eyes and see evil. Pay attention when I mention, be afraid of the shadows you walk by. Decide and say hi. That these jaws not so small for a bigger claw to fit in. I will always get a clean shot, even go for a headshot. See, this is where we are. I give you a head start. Jump, run or dart, as I do my part, and pick you apart. End poem.
Awesome, Reed. Thank you. You know, I think I probably should have set this up a little better. This is from the Alpha and Omega competition in the Rat Free group that I'm in. And they asked me to be a judge this year. It must be something in the air because I'm judging for the art competition too now. And in this one, they had to pick an animal. And then what they'll do is they'll battle with the details like this, and by process of elimination, we will eventually come down to the winner. And I thought he did a great job of pulling out the wolf and the details and what his plans were for his prey, and especially with the little details like at the end where you can jump and run and dart as I do my part and pick you apart. And I have to say, from hanging out with these people at the Rap Free group, they can sit down and rhyme like nobody's business, and in inner rhyme, outer rhyme. I mean, it's just incredible. And the highest score anybody could get was a 5, and I gave this one a 4.5 because, I mean, he really jumped into all the details. So I expect that he'll go pretty far in the contest. And thanks for sending it in, Dante. I appreciate it. And AP, you read it for him, which I appreciate. Can you comment before you have to go?
Well, yeah. Look, it's a really interesting poem there because you can imagine a predator is not somebody who has a sort of wide, long sort of history of the world type thing going on. They just want to get in there, get something to eat, and get out in one piece. And for me, this poem sort of picked that sense up really well. It really was about, you know, getting in the shoes of or the paws of this animal and doing what it does. And it I thought it did a wonderful job in a really interesting way.
Awesome comment. And again, thank you for reading. I'm assuming you're going to go have some lunch or something or get back to conquering the world.
Yes, I yeah, thank you. So, been a pleasure. Thanks for the prompts too, Deb. They were terrific. Great work on putting them together. And I think, you know, the quality of the poems reflected the hard work that you put in to get the show together. So, well done.
Oh, thank you. Well, enjoy your lunch, and we will talk soon. Love and respect.
Okay. Bye, AP.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Have a good
lunch,
AP.
Thank you, Alex. Thanks, Dave.
Okay, and Linda, will you comment for Dante, please?
Yeah, I thought that was on fire. It was awesome and taunting imagery. It kind of lifted me out of my seat. And he has mastered the art of intimidative writing. The rhyme scheme was brilliant and very sneaky in places, but it was just so meticulously placed. So I really liked it. It was spellbinding and intense and everything that a good scary story should be. So, good deal, Dante.
Awesome comment. And before you comment, David, let's say hi to my sweet. Hey, sweet.
Hey,
hi,
sweet.
Welcome to the show.
Well, hello, everyone.
Glad you're here.
Are you?
Good to hear your voice.
Thank God I can talk.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, I
good
think I
see
heard you,
sweet.
Almost a week ago, and you didn't sound so wonderful, but you're sounding like yourself again now.
Almost, yeah. You too, lady. Glad you're back.
Thanks, doll. Good to be here. All right, so unless you heard Dante's poem I'm about to read for Angel, I'm not sure how long you were there, hon. Did you hear that one?
I just heard you all say goodbye to AP.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Did
okay.
you want me to? Deborah,
so
did you want me to comment on this poem?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I do. Please. Thank you for reminding me, Dave.
That's all right. This one reminded me of the interview, maybe a Johnny Carson interview with a wolf, and I don't mean that in a humorous context. It's kind of like the wolf talking about, you know, his life and how he hunts in a kind of a nonchalant, relaxed sort of a way. You know, I can imagine him with a cigarette in his hand, you know, just talking about things. But that's kind of the way it hit me. And I thought it was kind of interesting. And then we got down to the last stanza, and it almost sounds like this last stanza was coming off the lips of a human, a hunter, you know. And so I don't know. It's really well written, and, you know, and it rhymes good and all that. I enjoyed the storyline in it a lot. It was really interesting. And he did a great job.
Awesome comment. Appreciate that very much.
Deb, if you'd like one more comment for Dante, I can comment.
Okay, go ahead, hon.
Okay. I said it was actually a very good poem, and I actually have to find it again. But I said, wow, what a piece to remember my parents by, and I say what I said before in a very stunning way. Your piece was so awesome that I was able to really connect with it. My favorite line was, I don't care if you said it right. I don't care whatever you were going to say, because I stopped caring what my old parents were saying. It hurt so, but I paid no mind. And to me, them sitting or laying down didn't change how I approached things in that house, because I knew as long as they were sitting or laying down that they were practically useless. Yes, I know, that's a harsh word, but if you were me, I'd think you'd say the same, if not possibly some more words. Well done.
Awesome comment, Allie. All right, now if everyone will click on Angel's poem, I'm going to read for her. And I put it back on, moved up some. And her poem is called The Storm by Heavenly Angel. Here we go. I had a dream last night about my mother. Stars appeared in the sky as a field of sunflowers covering the earth. I felt her presence as if some kind of titanium meteorite fell next to me, coloring my path in shades of goldenrod, chiffon, and peach. I ran towards her to be wrapped in her loving embrace, to once again look into her coffee-brown eyes and see love's shine glowing with pearlescent light upon her face. Once again, I was cocooned within my mother's arms. I could smell her perfume as sweet as honeydew melon, the scent as fresh, newly laundered linen. Then the new dawn approached. Without any warning and without any good reason, she was gone, taken from my sight but not from my heart. I find myself fighting the suffocating sadness, the never-ending flow of tears that threatens to drown me in a torrential flood. One day I will grieve less, but for now, I endure the storm within. End poem. Well, I'll tell you what, Angel, I endure that same storm. I sometimes dream her, and you kind of wake up, depending on the dream, with a soggy pillow, but definitely wishing that she was still here. And for me, I would smell like a baby powder smell. Might sound weird, but my mom wasn't big on perfume, so it would be the baby powder scent from her deodorant. And to this day, I went and bought the deodorant that she used after she passed. And you know, you get dressed, and it's like a little visit in your mind. The scent takes you away. Weird. I can't believe I just told everybody that. But anyway, I find myself fighting the suffocating sadness, the never-ending flow of tears that threaten to drown me in a torrential flood. I felt every word of that. Sometimes it hits you, like you'll be going about your business and then something would happen where you would normally want to pick up the phone and tell her, and it's those little times that you realize over and over again that you just can't, that are so hard to deal with. And as she says towards the end there, at the end, one day I will grieve less, but for now I endure the storm within. And you do grieve less, and it gets a little easier to cling to the memories that make you smile versus the ones that just amplify the loss. But some days it just doesn't matter. You just, the tears just take over and you can't seem to kick them. At least not until we meet again, you know. And I know that today is a sad one-year anniversary for that loss for Angel. And again, Angel, my thoughts are with you. A beautiful tribute for your mom here. And I was honored to be your reader. Let me go to David, please.
Oh, this was great. I really like this. Angel has such a touch with her feelings and her heart and soul, and it really is evident in the way she writes. You know, what a lovely way to start the poem. It says, "I had a dream last night about my mother." You know, that's pretty straightforward in its introduction. Stars appeared in the sky as a field of sunflowers covering the earth. Wow, this whole thing is really beautiful. I ran towards her to be wrapped in her loving embrace, to once again look into her coffee brown eyes and see love shining, love shine glowing with her pearlescent light upon her face. You know, whenever we think about her mom and looking up into her face, we always see that particular stanza right there. I think, you know, the love shine glowing with her pearlescent light upon her face. You know, that's, to me anyway, when I think about my mother, I see that. And, you know, it's such a chunk of our life to lose a parent, you know, whether it's a mother or a father. You know, it's like you said, Deb, time has a way of turning down those feelings a little bit. You don't ever forget it, but time just sort of, you know, dims the memories just a little bit. And we don't ever want to forget it, but it's certainly welcome when the pain, you know, subsides in it a little bit. And then, like you also said, every now and then a certain circumstance or a smell or an experience or just anything will drag us right back to where we were, and that pain comes all the way back, full 100%, and we have to just sort of, when I experience this, I have to just sit down and think about it for a minute or two. But I thought it was a beautiful poem, really well written.
Awesome comment. And Linda?
Well, Angel, I think she's truly awesome. This was a magnificent and truly heartfelt piece. My mother passed a while back, and I get those nights too, and you think about it when you wake up, and it's hard, but she pulled hard at my heartstrings with this and gave me a lump in my throat. Remembering Mama is a beautiful yet sometimes difficult thing to do. And the last two lines of this poem are just lovely and honest. She has a fine-tuned ability for loveliness, and this was a lovely poem. Thank you for sharing it.
Awesome comment. Thank you, Linda. And my sweet, can you comment for Angel and then read yours for us?
Yeah, I actually thought this was gorgeous. It hits a lot of points with me. Angel and I lost parents about the same time. So lost her mother and I lost my father. So I definitely understand, you know, how she feels and how this hits home for me. I wish I could go more depth into it, but unfortunately just I can't, and she understands that. So it's just there for both of us. I will try to read this. This is kind of I'm not on my computer. I don't have everything going my way. So I apologize for the weird grammatical mess this may be in. Because I can't write this small, especially without my glasses, so forgive me. Hopefully it reads as well as I think it should read. So, here we go. This is called Vultures. You guys have it. It's on your board. I can't even see it.
I do. You guys see it?
Okay. I just want to make sure.
I don't see it. Wait, let me refresh. I see angels up there. Refresh.
I'm putting it again just in
case. Oh, there we go.
I see it moved up some.
Yeah. There we go.
Sorry. I didn't see it, but I thought it was just me. But that's because I'm not working for my normal setup, so. All right, here I go. Vultures. She scraped her way through bone and flesh, seething in cavities on rotten gums, waiting to release her deadly stench, a crimson clover twisted mess, arguing madness in daylight hours, smile eliminates smiles, keeping silent the songs from the chalkboard choir, burning Saturn's rings of fire, freeze in the blackness of space's denial. Whispers of secrets tell all lies, gag the giggles, no one is true. Eyes of ebony, fool the fool, to see eyes of blue and innocence, to hear sweet words from lips that spit, nails from split tongues. Mirrors and hallways outline chalks, shadows harness behind the soul. A true horned monsters whose hands guide the mind and fulfill desire, where maggots are born to eat the flesh from rotting wounds. In moments between raindrops and sunbeams, when control is lost in silence or sound, I surrender to the filth in my veins and fly into the night, in the mouth of the screeching vulture. End poem.
Damn.
Wow. Yeah.
Right?
I'll say.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and then talk about diving right in, right from the first line. She scraped her way through bone and flesh, seething in cavities of rotten gums, waiting to release her deadly stench, his crimson and clover twisted mesh. Like, wow. And then with the metaphors, like the lemonade smiles keep silent the songs from the chalkboard choir. And the chalkboard choir gives me, just the thought of it gives me the chills, because you know that noise that happens sometimes, like somebody scraping their fingernails across the chalkboard. So the chalkboard choir is, it gave, like I said, it gave me the chills at the thought of that noise. so many whispers of secrets, tell all lies and gag the giggles. No one true. Damn. Mirrors and hallways outline chalk shadows harnessed behind the soul. So many. In the moments between raindrops and sunbeams, when control is lost in silence or sound, I surrender to the filth in my veins and fly into the night in the mouth of the screeching vultures. How about that surrender to the filth in my veins? I mean, every stanza here just pounds in details from that photo. Like, look at that photo and the words. Sweet, really, really incredible. And then there was something, I know it's because you didn't have any choice because you're trying not to cough, so you were talking a little extra soft. So there was a soothing softness to your voice that didn't match any of that wording at all. And the contrast was really freaky because it was sort of haunting, you know? So it was more because, like I said, because you had to. But something about you being forced to go even softer, like I said, added to it this time. Man, oh, man. And then the quote, I should have fed your flesh to the screeching vulture. So perfection. Really awesome. Let me go to David.
Oh, this was superb. You know, it rocked me right off right there when Pam started reading it, you know, and I agree with what you said, Deb, the softness, you know, it was a sort of a weird segue into the poem here, but it was really effective and it worked really well. And it was almost sounded like a prayer in an odd sort of way because of the tone of your voice, the timbre of it. And stuff, Pam, and it was really, really effective. I like I like that second stanza too. Arguing madness in daylight hours, smile a lemonade smiles. Keep silent the songs from the chalkboard choir. That was cool. Those lines are really nice. And then the second to the last stanza, mirrors and hallways outline chalk shadows harnessed behind the soul. That was cool. Harnessed behind the soul. I would have never thought to write like that. But two horned monster whose hands guide the mind and fulfill desire, her maggots are born to eat the flesh from a rotting wound. Wow, this is really heavy, too. Man, it didn't get much more descriptive than that, but yeah, you did good. You did good, Pam. Really good job.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
I would like to see you write more.
I said awesome comment, David.
Oh.
And Allie, would you like to comment?
Sure. Give me a second to get back to poem, but I did well. My favorite line was, in the moments between raindrops and sunbeams, when control is lost in silence, because I understand how it feels to feel like you've lost control when silence is just too quiet, when the rain and sun just kind of blend together and leave you feeling lost. Believe it or not, I am crying a little bit, because on last Tuesday night, my word went from sunlight to raindrops in a matter of about 30 minutes. Thank you, Sweet, for writing such interesting pieces.
You're very welcome.
Awesome comment. And Linda?
Insane, my darling. That was insane. This was metaphorically wonderful, and the imagery was sick. And I don't know, but I think you were trying to freak me out. And there was an interesting, very subtle rhyme in there that was kind of sneaky, but it flowed just so intensely. So you did a really great job on this. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. My. Yeah. Okay, so let me see. Where we are is all the poems that I have left have recordings. And before we do the recordings, I figure I will do the rundown of what's about to happen around here. For example, tomorrow night is Sky Dark Home show down the tube. And she's got some really cool choices for everyone. There are three. One is the Disappearing Lakes. The second one is tailor-made Dave Prophet. It's called The Shadow Planet. It's about TRES-2B. And the third prompt is a terror bird. It's like this giant bird that can eat dinosaurs. And these are things that she found on YouTube. So she always has a really cool video to go with it. And I'm quite fascinated by the Disappearing Lakes. I didn't know that there are lakes that just one day they're full, the next day they're not. And then, oops, wow, look, the water came back. And, you know, where did it go? So, like, I think it's really fascinating. She finds some very cool stuff. And on Wednesday, we have my Crystal, and she is doing one of her Guess the Poet editions, and this is for spring. So all you do for that one is put your name on the board, and she will find one of your poems and pick a piece of it, and we try to guess who we think wrote that poem. We always have a fun time. And then, my sweet, do you know what's – oh, yeah, you do. You want to tell us about Thursday?
Yes, I do. Thursday night is my quote contest, which I had a contest going on, and I think it might have one more day to it, which is one of my favorite quotes I've ever done, to be very honest with you, which is odd to me because I don't usually do quotes, but I have to say that I am in love with that quote, and so I have a contest going in my show, so I would love everybody there. It was postponed, and it's the Love and Blood quote. The quote being, "The blood on my teeth begins to taste like a poem, like religion, like the way you look at me." That is my show. I have some really great entries. I'll be closing up, but it's right for the show. So that's Thursday night. I'm very excited about this show.
Cool.
Yeah. As was Remington, if you didn't hear him crying with me the whole time.
Yeah, I know, he's breaking my heart. But I love that quote, too. It was an awesome, awesome quote. And I do not envy you trying to judge it. Just saying.
Oh, no, not at all.
Right? Okay. And,
no. And Deb, I am going to go. I obviously have to let my puppy go. I will check in. I'm pretty much done talking. But thanks for listening to me.
Yeah, Deb.
Thank you. Yes.
I have to go as well. I'm so hungry, I'm getting a headache. So I'm going to go feed the beast, and thank you for having me on your show.
My pleasure. I will see both of you ladies soon. Thank you for hanging out with me, and love and respect.
Mm-hmm. Love and respect to you too, Deb. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I hear something on the train of people leaving, Deb, but it is getting quite late, and I plan on going to school tomorrow unless something else happens health-wise or trauma-wise in my life. So I am going to hop off as well.
All right. Well, I appreciate you calling. It was an amazing poem that you share, and make sure you get some sleep for school, and love and respect.
You too, Dad.
And David, looks like that leaves you and I, and like I said, all we have left are recordings. And just before I push play for Frank, I just wanted to quickly point out the my show for next week. I found a really cool artist. His name is Lee S. Key, and he does art for ceramics, and he does drawings of them before he makes them. And I just, he's meticulous. His art is very gorgeous. So I'm looking forward to seeing what everybody does with the art, and I'm pretty sure it's just, I'm double checking, it's just totally free for all. There's no word banks or anything. You just go wherever the art takes you. Okay, so David, I guess what we'll do is we'll click on Frank's and we will each comment and then put the other ones on, and
sounds good to me.
Get these. Okay, and I put Frank's back on in case it got. Oh, no, I didn't. I accidentally just put the link for the show back on again. So let me fix that. And here we go. This one is the right link for Frank's poem. And here it is. And I'm going to go to the studio and push play.
In the sable shadows of nightmares is a horrific chamber of carmine fire, where the putrid flesh of lost souls fade into the silver ashes of death. Behind the cracks and nooks of the solid walls of the doors of torment resound the haunting echoes of a sadistic chastisement imposed. The path of the stormy nights of lightning lead to rain mountains of purgatory, and the scavenging vultures of the oasis and walls of the forest wait below. For the torn and shredded mortal of need to eat upon the scarlet stakes of the earth, a chariot of demons escort the chosen ones to the gates of the onyx brimstone. Hopeless stars turn to streaking burgundy comets and meteorites. The skies wave in the toxic fumes of the merciless mist of clouds. The menacing foes cackle suddenly, a deafening dirge of utter dread. Silencing the voices of the burning, sentenced to a sudden imprecation. Through the inflammable pit of blaze, emerges the wicked face of retribution, marked with the visible grave numbers of the terrifying D666. With two ivory colossal horns, and piercing with the eyes of madness, little laughter roars like the drumming thunder of the mighty name. He resides within the suffocating nightmares of the darkness of hell.
Right. Are you scared, Deborah?
I am. You know, I am no nightmare. I am your darkest fear. When he started saying that, he scared Roscoe, and he's like looking around. Now he scared the heck out of him. Oh my goodness. such theatrical reading and writing always, you know?
Yeah.
It's like
I know.
It's funny because I don't ever read ahead of time, but as soon as I put Frank's link on the board, I always scroll real quick just to see if there's a ha-ha at the end so that I know to brace myself, because it's like it's a vicious laugh, you know? But The Darkness of Hell, what a title. You know exactly what to expect. And then In the Sable Shadows of Nightmares is a horrific chamber of carmine fire, where the putrid flesh of lost souls fade. The putrid flesh of lost souls. Talk about creepy descriptions. Brilliant, you know? The path of the stormy nights of lightning lead to rained mountains of purgatory and the scavenging vultures of the oasis and wolves of the forest wait below. I mean, the details in this one really, really bring it to life. And towards the end, through an inflammable pit of blaze emerges the wicked face of retribution. And if you look in the video that he has down there, it's pretty close to the art that he chose, which trying to convert and put on the board so that you can see it. But he always does such a good job when he pulls in the dark, because between the wording and his voice as he's reading for us, it's just like it's always the total package, you know? I'm thinking I'm finding this here. Is it? I don't know if I... Okay. I am going to go over to the board and grab it because I didn't delete them this time. I left each person's photo up there so that people could look. And there it is. Okay. I'll have it there in just a second. Because, like, it's wicked. Every bit as wicked as his wording. So he really brought his art to life. In full, vivid word. He's on my lap now. He won't get out of my sight. You always know who that monster was in the house. Okay, so take a peek at the board, David, at the vicious photo that he had, and it really shows you that his words totally, totally lit up the picture, you know? Did a hell of a job.
Mm-hmm.
Great shit. And David, what did you think?
Oh, this was Frank from head to toe. You know, it really was. When I started listening to this, I couldn't hardly hear him. It was just a kind of a whisper, and then slowly started getting louder and louder. I don't hear very well anyway, and you know, so I thought, is there something wrong with my hearing? And then it gradually got louder and louder, and I thought it was really effective in this, because it was sort of like somebody just sitting alone by themselves, and all of a sudden this mumbling starts, you know, and it catches the person's attention, and then it blossoms into actual speech that you can understand and hear. And the hopeless stars turn into streaking burgundy comets or meteorites. The sky is swathed in the toxic fumes of a merciless mist of clouds. Geez, nothing too cheery here, you know. Frank's really good about, he's really good at creating a dark scene, you know, and setting up scenarios and stuff like this. And through the inflammable pit ablaze emerges the wicked face of retribution, marked with the visible engraved numbers of the terrifying beast 666. Yeah, boy, I tell you, I know some people that had a telephone number that had a 666 prefix on it, and they wouldn't keep it. So, this was really good. It was scary, too, for sure. So, nice job here, Franco.
Great comment, and I don't think I would keep it either, David. I had a little bit of a pang when I was given the phone number for this, because even though it's broken up by area code and then phone number, it's 646668. So there's like three sixes in the middle, but at least it's broken up, you know, because I think I would have asked them for a new number had it not been. But yeah, excellent work. And the next one on the board is by my little sis, Crystal Hope. So if you click on there, I will push her recording.
Journey to the skies of myself. Sapphire days turn to blackberry nights of wondering where you are. Shadow storms knock at the moon's door, but it's lost by the constellation of stars. Crawling on starlight glass pieces, broken from the frame photographs, violet vultures caress the nightmares, wandering into the dark of an unknown path. Clusters exploded in the waves of the river, rippling through the fragments of me, fighting through echoing voices that blanket the cornea of the sea. Traveling with crimson blood on my sleeve, painted with ink dripping from old bookshelves, paint maple branches wipe the past behind, embracing the skies of myself.
Wow.
Christy. Yeah.
Wow.
She
just outdoes herself, you know?
Every week. Which one do I pick? The stanzas are brilliant. Clusters exploded in the waves of the river, rippling through the fragments of me, fighting through echoing voices that blanket the cornea of the sea. I mean, talk about brilliant metaphors, but the fragments of me really grabbed
for
me.
For sure.
And the closing stanza there, traveling with the crimson blood on my sleeve, painted with ink dripping from old bookshelves. Maple branches wipe the past behind, embracing the sky of myself. This is really a very introspective piece, I think. And the quote that
she
chose. Yeah, I must face fighting such as I've not known, and I must travel on a road that I do not know. So I think her poem is excellent with the quote that she chose. And she always does, even before I started forcing everybody to use color, Crystal always used color. And now even she uses more. So it's really awesome to see how everyone paints with their words more. And this one, but I'm still really, really taken by clusters exploded in the waves of the river, rippling through the fragments of me. Crystal is so beyond her age in her writing. She's just amazing. I'm always in awe of the stuff that she sends in or reads or writes. Even the shows that she does, some of the ideas she comes up with, she's just a brilliant person. Although it's wonderful to hear this, I'm just in awe of my little sis. That's the best way I can put it. What do you think of it?
Well, you know, Deb, you and I have watched this lady go from being a good poetess to an outstanding one. I mean, you and I have watched her in the time that she's been with us. And, you know, you and I have known each other for almost 8 years now, I guess. And we've seen a lot of people come and go in our time here. And this poem, this lady is just outstanding. She just blows me away every time I read some of her stuff. I really like that third stanza too. It's almost to me, it's almost uplifting because of such clusters exploded in the waves of the river rippling through the fragments of me. She is, to me, that says how she thinks and what poetry means to her. You know, clusters exploded in the waves of the river rippling through the fragments of me. You know, that to me, that's a real nice way of her describing how she feels about poetry and writing and stuff. And then fighting through echoing voices, the blanket, the cornea of the sea, you know, that's like saying something about the eye of the sea to me when she introduces cornea into the sea. And that's beautiful. You know, I don't know too many people that don't like going down to the beach and just standing there watching the waves come in. You know, it's an amazing thing. And I don't know. And then I like this last stanza down here. It says, traveling with crimson blood on my sleeves, painted with ink dripping from old bookshelves. How fascinating is that? You know, I mean, I'd love to go into some place that's got a whole bunch of books, really old books, and sitting on a bookshelf, and you can just lose yourself looking at those titles of each one of those books and stuff, you know. And, you know, this second line in the stanza is painted with bookshelves. To me, that is almost saying, yeah, I've looked at all of these old books, and some of it rubbed off on me, and now I'm writing about it, maybe something, I don't know, but I don't know. Maple branches wipe the past behind, embracing the skies of myself. Gee, this is a really, to me, this is a really upbeat poem that she wrote, and I thought it fit the prompt really well too. The prompt is beautiful, shows the Milky Way in the background, and then the ocean, you know, and there's a, you know, if you could turn off all the stars, you know, at night over the ocean, there's a lot of phosphorescence, you know, phosphorus and stuff like that in the water itself. And when it breaks and crashes like that, it's absorbed some of that light from the moon. And so it glows in the dark almost, you know. We have a beach in Oregon called Indian Beach, and it does this all the time. You get down there and you can see these little sparklies in the waves and stuff. It's spooky almost. But yeah, this is really, really nice. I really enjoyed this one a lot.
Awesome comment. And something is wrong with my phone. Can you hear me okay, Dave?
Yeah.
Okay, because the other phone is dying.
It's a little tin canny sounding right now.
Hopefully this, because this one's dying, and I'm trying to get in on my cell phone, and it just, like, won't dial for some reason.
Well, you sound, okay right now.
Good. All right, well, we'll have to try and do it through here. Okay, the next poem on the board is by Gerald Green, so if you click on that, I'll push play.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I'm here.
This is called Assisting Athens. Commander carries King's crown to flamingo fights. Mass muscle men marched as silent citizens slept. Sword of ambassadors assassinating army ignites. Village cottages crumbled. Puppeteer people wept. A bolt of lightning cracked and a fire broke out. And as the sky kept thickening, night rained death. Amnes Athens shook. Dazed citizens hurried about. Blazing battle fought in shadows of Scotland's Macbeth.
Okay, well, obviously that was Wayne and not Gerald, so I'm going to switch the links and see what happened. Let me put
Wayne's link up first. Okay, here comes Wayne's. Click on that and I will fix Gerald. But in the meantime, let's listen to Mr. Gent.
Can't hear you, Deb.
Okay, I switched the links. Click on Wayne's and I will fix Gerald's and I will start Wayne's over again.
Okay, go ahead.
This is called Assisting Athens. Commander carries King's Crown to Flamingo fights. Mass muscle men marched. Silent citizens slip. Sword of ambassadors assassinating army ignites. Village cottages crumbled. Puppeteer people whip. A bolt of lightning cracked and a fire broke out. And as the sky kept thickening, night, rain, death. Amnes Athens shook. Dazed citizens hurried about. Blazing battle. Thought and shadows of Scotland's Macbeth. Athens whiskered wounded warriors, shielded against tassel. Ambassador announces that pockmarked pigeon loose. Brained and trained, bubbly bird eyes king of God's castle. Padded, plated, and polished, marched in Commander Zeus. Poseidon carried the seas, Hades danced in hell, clawed and collared, camouflage company's fires cold. Enemy pathway encircling Athens, tagged as fluted bell, polished in marble, pomegranate sculptures, story told. And?
Wow, okay. Now, at least you have the right poem. Let's not start there. Where did it go? Here we go. And I really like the photo that he chose. I mean, look at him standing there with the lightning bolt in his hand. And he starts off, Commander carries full crown of Flamingo fights. Masked muscled men march as silent citizens slept. Wayne is definitely one of our kings of alliteration. I mean, he can rock the alliteration. I like, what was that?
Yeah.
Athens whiskered wounded warriors shielded against tassel. Ambassador announces, let pockmarked pigeon loose. I mean, really cool wording in this one. Poseidon carried seas. Hades danced in hell, clawed and collared. Camouflaged companies, fires cold. I mean, really, really great details in this one. But in the second stanza there, a bolt of lightning cracked and a fire broke out. And as the sky kept thickening, night rained death. That part there, the visual is perfect for the photo, but night rained death. What a scary, horrifying thought that is, you know? I think he did a really stellar job with this. And
yeah,
I liked there was something in the tone of the music background that he used too that gave it like a, I guess for lack of a better word, a sorrow. There was a sorrow to it.
For sure.
Yeah. Brilliant share.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Dave?
Well, to me, this had an Old Testament, tinge to it, I think, you know, a bowl of lightning cracked and a fire broke out as the sky kept thickening, night, rain, death. You know, Amethyst Athens shook, dazed citizens hurried about, blazing battle fought in shadows of Scotland's Macbeth. You know, it just, I don't know, it sounds like something from the Old Testament, you know, maybe. And then the third stanza kind of reiterates that. You know, when Wayne's stuff comes up, I either don't know whether it's going to be serious or it's going to be funny. You know, either way, it's great. But, you know, I agree with you about his alliteration ability. That it's really good, a lot better than mine. This is really, really a good job of describing the prompt, I thought, you know. So, way to go, Wayne.
I totally agree. Yeah, and he's way better at alliteration than me as well. Like I said, he's an alliteration king. All right, so now let's try Mr. Green again. I believe I have the correct sound loaded. So let's give this a quick push here and hope that everything goes just fine. And okay, it's still downloading, so we're going to have to give it a moment. So while that is downloading, how about if I go grab the one by Phil the Poet? That way we can keep them moving here. So here comes Phil's link, and we'll do journals afterwards. Here's a team of voices. So please click on Phil's, and we'll do that one first.
Okay.
There's a poem by Phil the Poet called Fishing for Dreams. Casting out the nets of perpendicular visions, like the shaking of a hummingbird's tail feather, gently hovering over eggshell wheels of flaming chariots, riding forth into the cobalt stillness of a cracked darkness, mishandling the axe of a khaki forest in ivory stillness, gathering the magnolia into a chamber of scarlet horned vultures, ready to eat the flesh of a marshmallow-shaped bull, while the mules knock upon the doors with goldenrod hooves, shooting a bolt of lightning along the blushed mountain road, exploding like a thousand daffodil leaves harnessed to a maggot, disintegrating the emerald and mahogany glow of the earth, the dead turned to ash among the shadows of gold. Opening the pearly gates tarnished with the rusted cashmere, treading the molten coals of singed grounded coffee, facing the posts signed reality and make-believe, surrounded by saffron views of a squelched nutmeg path. Mother, I'm riding a meteorite driven by a tangerine salamander, traveling over the heads of gingerbread people, sparks of fire illuminating the sky with the colors fighting over me, erupting like Chinese fireworks of ruby and lemon sugar drops. End poem.
Great. Yeah, I love listening to Phil read. His pronunciation is fantastic. And he's another one of those poets who can write about anything, and you're just never sure what you might get, but it's always something that is appreciated, always something that more than you would have expected. You know what I mean? And like, okay, shooting a bolt of lightning along the blushed mountain road, exploding like a thousand daffodil leaves. What a visual, a thousand daffodil leaves. So you're picturing this gorgeous yellow, and opening the poetry gates tarnished with rusted cashmere, treading the molten coals of singed grounded coffee. I like where he blended in the colors and the descriptions. Mother, I'm riding a meteorite driven by a tangerine salamander, and I'm about to put the photo that he wrote to on the board so that you can see just how perfect the visual descriptions are that he came up with. Let me find the right one, because there's a beautiful fish. Let me see. Here we go. Phil, I'm pushing enter right now, and you'll see the amazing art that he wrote to and how he really brought it to life with his words. and then towards the sparks of fire illuminating the sky with colors fighting over me, erupting like Chinese fireworks of ruby and lemon sugar drops. I mean, gorgeous visuals, perfect for this
mm-hmm.
photo. Awesome share, Bill. Thank you very much. What did you – oh, and he's got an award for it already as well. Congratulations on that, Phil. What do you think, David?
Oh, this was to me, that one part that you pointed out, let's see, where is it? The last stanza, it's almost psychedelic, you know. Mother, I'm riding a meteorite driven by a tangerine salamander traveling over the heads of gingerbread people. It kind of reminds me of paper taxis appear on the shore, you know, that sort of thing. But sparks of fire illuminating the sky with colors fighting over me. Wow, erupting like Chinese fireworks of ruby and lemon sugar drops. That's cool. It, you know, that use of color and taste is really well done on that line there. It's blended really well, and it makes that line so much more tangible, I think. And then the middle stanza, shooting a bolt of lightning along the blushed mountain road, exploding like a thousand daffodil leaves harnessed to a maggot. Okay. Disintegrating the emery and mahogany glow of earth, the dead turning to ash among the shadows of gold. Wow. That's a pretty powerful poem. Really is. The way he used all those adjectives and metaphors is really, really outstanding. You know. Really good job.
Totally agree. Awesome comment. Let's see if Gerald's recording finished loading. Where is it? It did. Okay, so please click on Gerald's link and we'll listen to him.
Okay. Let's see here. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Welcome to Gerald Green Poetry.
I stopped it. Just tell me when you see it.
Okay, hold on here. Let's see. Yeah, go ahead.
Cool. Here we go.
Welcome to Gerald Green Poetry. Matrimonial Journey, written and read by Gerald Green. The path to your heart was a narrow bridge, smoothly paved and too pristine for those who mingled with desire on its level and inviting apron. The line was straight, no curves or potholes on the way, with mortared walls to keep the traveler safe, but places made for weary feet to rest. The creek below, a moat of sorts, slows down and helps provide security, preventing loss and injury from those who foster jealousy. Your heart is founded on a rock, cannot be moved with wisps of air or even storms of lust for who you are, the same today as yesterday. I walked that bridge some 50 years ago, each step a careful, guarded move, calculated with precision's guiding hand toward the castle in my view. Its door was closed, the windows locked, so I took time, enjoyed the view, no pressing moves to gain a notice, let the campus be my own. The fortress proved to be my guardian, kept away encroaching fears, providing safety in the winter far above what lies below. Once inside, I've never wandered, never wanted more or less, sitting by the open fire, keeping warm and feeling blessed. Visit YouTube for more Gerald Green poetry.
Wow. Okay, for starters, before I comment on the poem, let me mention that Gerald now has a YouTube station. So anytime you need a Gerald fix, you can just check out his YouTube station. And I also happen to know that one of his local radio stations is on occasion using some of his poetry in between on the shows. So congratulations on both of those. I'm really happy for you. And as far as the poem, Matrimonial Journey, great title. I've been waiting to find out where he took that. Starting at the top line, to your heart was a narrow bridge, smoothly paved and too pristine for those who mingled with desire on its level and inviting apron. I thought that wording was really cool. And but there's something, let me see, what is 1, 2, 3, 4, like the fifth stanza, your heart is founded on a rock. It cannot be moved with wisps of air or even storms of lust for who you are, the same today as yesterday. And there's something so tenderly romantic about the thought of the same today as yesterday. Like, you know, you can imagine being told that, you know, everything I loved about you yesterday, I still love today. And I mean, it's just, there's a tenderness in that line. And then towards the end, the second to the last stanza, the fortress proved to be my guardian, kept away encroaching fears, providing safety in the winter, far above what lies below. Once inside, I've never wandered, never wanted more or less, sitting by an open fire, keeping warm. Ending, that tender, beautiful, romantic ending. I this one is really endearing. And I know that he does a lot of traveling, and there's just something about this, like no matter where we go, no matter what we do, it comes back to being warm and feeling blessed. And I really, really like that. And you don't know, you look at a picture, you see a gorgeous castle, old castle with an amazing landscape in the background, and you just never know where it might lead somebody. And especially with Gerald, he's like the his surprise approach on things never ceases to amaze. I never know where he might go, but it's always a great journey. So I very much enjoyed it. And again, congratulations on all the exciting things going on, Gerald. I'll be saying, oh, I knew him when he's big and famous and doesn't have time to write for Deb's little show anymore. What do you think, of his poem, Dave?
Oh, this was great. I think there's a lot of people nowadays that want a romance like this, you know, and this only works if both people feel exactly the same way, you know, and he evidently does, and his wife does too. It summed up in the last stanza here, once inside, I've never wandered, never wanted more or less, sitting by an open fire, keeping warm and feeling blessed. You know, to me, that says that he's not looking at anybody else and she isn't either. And they're happy with each other and what they've got. And they're feeling blessed about the whole thing. You know, that's a lot of that ideology is lost nowadays, I think. On people, they always want more and more, and their heads are filled with a lot of baloney about, you know, you should do this and you should do that, and if your man isn't giving you this or your woman isn't giving you that, then get rid of them. You know, I just don't buy into that garbage. It's a bunch of mind wash, brainwashing and stuff. And this sort of kind of just shows a a light in that area. I think your heart is founded on a rock, cannot be moved with wisps of air or even storms or lust for who you are, the same today as yesterday. That stanza there tells me that whoever he's talking about is not, you know, is not looking for anybody else, and they're exactly on the same page with the other person. In fact, that this whole poem sort of to me, I think it was really well written, and it's typical Gerald. It's got his signature all over it, and I like the way he writes very much.
Fabulous comment, David. We got two more to go. So if you click on R.S. Morris, I will push play.
Oh. Who are we looking
asleep
for?
Asleep but not sleeping. Yep. Tossing but not turning. Thinking.
Okay. I get it.
Asleep but not sleeping. Tossing but not turning. Thinking but without thought. The lake out back is burning. Memories revert to childhood. Can't tell if I'm asleep or awake. Mind racing to work the problem. Riding my chopper in a bad earthquake. None of this means anything. Talking to a cat named Yvonne. 40,000 feet in a Piper Cub. It's snowing in downtown San Juan. Still struggling with the question, am I asleep or awake? I'm really fighting with this. That's weird. I have a hair ache. Decided I'm not sleeping. Standing with my feet in a lake. Fish are walking all around me. I'm in a car baking a cake. Flying a plane through a forest. Are the stars in the lake or sky? I can't tell which way is up. Dead grandmother waving bye-bye. My dream is making no sense. Decided I must still be asleep. No rhyme or reason for any of this. Riding with radar in my Civil War Jeep. In the bathroom taking a leak. Figured out the secret hallelujah chord. Feeling a warmth wash over me. Wake up and look down. Oh, good Lord.
Wow. Okay, you know, asleep but not sleeping, tossing but not turning, thinking but without thought, the lake out back is burning. This is really, really, really clever. And the one part got me, I had a look, did he just say that? And I looked again where he said, I decided I'm not sleeping, standing with my feet in a lake. Fish are walking all around me. I'm in a car baking a cake, and I'm thinking, did he really just say he was in a car baking a cake? And then it's a good thing that he reminded me that it was about a dream, because I'm like, wait, I think it's two stanzas down. My dream is making no sense. Decided I must be still asleep. No rhyme, no reason for any of this. Riding with radar in my Civil War Jeep. I mean, he was all over the place in this. And,
yeah.
and I'm looking
yeah.
at it here now. It's a multiple award winner. I mean, people really had fun with this one. He had fun with this one. And I think the minute you decide to call it a dream or make it a dream, you can pretty much go anywhere you want, and it fits because it's a dream. But I'm quite giggling over it. I'm in a car baking a cake. I'm like, what? And then the closing
yeah.
stanza, I'm like, wait, did he just say that? You know? So I like, I love it when he shares from his Civil War collection, but I also really, really enjoy when he brings stuff that I was, you know, I wasn't expecting, with a mixture of bacon cakes and cars and the bathroom cake and a leak. I'm like, well, we're all over the place in this dream. I think that it came out really cool. What did you think, David?
Oh, yeah, this one was a real surprise. You know, I started wondering about it on the second stanza. Memories revert to childhood, can't tell if I'm asleep or awake. Mind racing to work the problem, riding my chopper. Can't imagine riding a motorcycle in a bad earthquake. None of this means anything, talking to a cat named Yvonne. 40,000 feet in a Piper Cub. It's snowing in downtown San Juan. Yeah, okay. Yeah, this is all over the place. And, you know, it's just like we dream, though. You know, I mean, you've had crazy dreams like this. I know I have. And, you know, you wake up and you go, wow, that was heavy. What's going on here? You know, it's just the way our mind relaxes when we're asleep, I think, just plays with it. Sometimes there's more to it than that, but this one, I don't think so. It's just, it was interesting to read, and it really kept you wondering what was going on. Like you said, you were wondering about baking a cake in an airplane. Yeah, that'd be a good trick. You know, and then I don't know who Radar is. It sounds like an animal or a dog, maybe. Riding with Radar in my Civil War Jeep. Okay. Yeah, this is interesting. I thought this was really fun. You did a good job.
Totally agree. Awesome. Okay, now let me see here. I have the last poem on the board, and I intentionally saved this one for last because this is the first time that I am getting to hear this poet's voice, and I'm very excited. So if you will click on the poem by From E.T., we will have a listen and meet a new voice. Here we go.
Okay.
This poem is called Something Inside. Like a rose kissing a fire, dressed in desert dune sand, in a bed of honeydew grass, where the oxblood skin melts into pepper, awaiting in the chamber, I blaze. Beyond the gate lays an axe of a pure milk blade, forged, as I imagine, to play the worn drums of gunpowder and stained fields for bird chick songs to fill. Yet the core staring at me, clothed in quartz, lets the sun dance, build towers of flowers for the full moon of child smiles, blowing dandelions so the kids do not stand like posts with warning signs because of what it can do to their skin. Opening old scrapbooks clothed in dust in a house of broken stone and vines that passing eyes turn their backs to, like we do with the road filled with potholes. After all, the axe hugs them deep through wooden rings. The axe coffin snags to keep the children warm. The axe lays others to sleep for the children to eat. Oh, so deep do our cores lay, almost in a cloak of shadows, but still they stay in the same form when oxblood skins turn to pepper and an axe swings. End poem.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was really cool, like a rose kissing a fire dressed in desert dune sand in a bed of honeydew grass. I think the description there is perfect. If you, I should have said at the beginning, David, if you look at the profile picture up on the top right, that is the photo that was written to, and it's a rose on fire there, a red rose on fire. And let me see here, the middle, yet the core staring at me, dressed in quartz, lets the sun dance, build towers of flowers for the full moon, the child smiles. I think that the phrasing here is really cool. The passing eyes turn their backs to like what we do to the road filled in potholes. You know, there's potholes. Pet peeve, people spend a fortune on taxes and you shouldn't have to go through a road that has potholes in it. So my mind went to potholes for a minute there. And then his voice snapped me back in. To keep the children warm, the axe lays others to sleep for the children to eat. So there's a lot of phrasing in here that makes you stop and think. Cores lay almost in a cloak of shadows. Almost in a cloak of shadows. I really, really like the phrasing there, too. I think this came out excellent, and I hope you continue to contribute to the show because it was very awesome to get to hear you read. Great poem. What did you think, Dave?
Parts of this I didn't really understand where he was coming from or what he was driving at, but, you know, now that I hear your analysis of it, it makes a little bit more sense to me. But I like the way it was written nonetheless. I like the stanza that goes, blowing dandelions so the kids do not stand like posts with warning signs. That's cool because of what it can do to their skin. Opening old scrapbooks clothed in dust, it's a house of broken stones and vine. The passing eye turn their backs to that, to like what we do to the roads filled in pottle. Yeah, it's a very interesting poem. The use of the adjectives in it are really striking, and the colors that he used, you know, to mix in with it. Beyond the gate lays an axe of pure milk blade, forged, as I imagine, to play the worn drums of gunpowder in stained fields for bird chicks' songs to fill. That's pretty weird. Stanza. But I liked it. I thought it was good. And I'd like to hear more from this individual. So,
awesome comment. Yeah, I would too. Hopefully he will continue to contribute. I'm very, very happy that he stumbled across our group. Okay, so just a quick reminder that Sky goes live tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And on that note, I would like to say, Hatter, I hope you're okay. We missed you tonight. And thank my amazing board, which is Hatter and AP and Sweet Pea. Appreciate all three of you very, very much. Thank you to David for hanging out with me all night. Till the bitter end.
That's my pleasure.
And thank you to Callie, Steven, and Kay, and Linda. And I also would like to thank Dante and Angel for sending in poems. And thank you to Crystal and Etty and Frank and Gerald and Phil and RS and Wayne for making the recordings and sending them in for us. And Gerald, I appreciate yours and congratulations again on your YouTube channel and on your radio appearances. You're all such awesome poets that I'm always in awe by the time my show ends each week at the variety, at the brilliance. I just can't emphasize enough how honored I am to get to showcase your work every week and hang out with all you wonderful people. And I always look forward to seeing what you might bring next, because you're all so brilliant. You might not realize it, but I do, and someday I'll be able to convince you. So I don't know. I guess we should get out of here, and I appreciate you all with love and respect from the bottom of my heart. I am going to just
Deborah, let me say something here.
Sure.
You run such an excellent show. People like to be on your show because of the way you manage it, and the way you handle it, and you're fun. You're intelligent woman, and you write dynamite poetry. And we learn from you with all of these prompts that you give us. And it's a community learning process. You know, we write something, and then somebody else comments about it, and then it sinks into us. And we go, yeah, I'm going to try that next time. You know, and it's just a very regenerative type of atmosphere that you provide, and you should pat yourself on the back for that. There's not very many hostesses I know that run a show this well, so thank you for having me on your show as well. I appreciate it.
Thank you for saying that, David. That was very sweet. I appreciate it very much.
Okay.
It means a lot that people want to hang out. And I appreciate you for hanging out again till the bitter end. So, on that note,
fun.
Let's blow this pop stand, and I'll see you next week, same time, same channel. And in the meantime, we'll hang out with Sky tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Okay, sounds good.
Love and respect, everyone. Good night.
See you, Deb. Bye.